Imagine your car suddenly shutting down on a busy highway because you're a day late on payments, or your refrigerator sending detailed reports of your eating habits to your health insurance company. This isn't science fiction, it's our present reality. Smart technology has infiltrated every corner of our lives, promising convenience while extracting something far more valuable: our data, privacy, and autonomy. The technological revolution isn't just changing how we live, it's reshaping who holds power in society. While tech evangelists paint these innovations as inevitable progress, they rarely acknowledge who truly benefits from this transformation. As smart devices proliferate in our homes, workplaces, and cities, we're making a Faustian bargain that few of us fully understand, trading fundamental freedoms for marginal convenience in a world increasingly stacked against ordinary citizens. Smart technology fundamentally embeds digital capabilities for data collection, connectivity, and control into everyday objects, a process that's not merely technical, but profoundly political. Technology is political from conception to implementation. Each design choice represents decisions about priorities, resource allocation, and acceptable trade-offs. Understanding who benefits versus who loses reveals this political dimension. Smart technology functions like legislation, establishing frameworks governing human behavior. Code can enforce rules more consistently than laws. We must scrutinize these legislators, the technocrats creating systems that govern our lives. Currently, a homogeneous group of mostly white, male, wealthy elites. The myth of technological determinism, that technology evolves independently along a predetermined path, serves power interests. When technology is framed as autonomous, resistance appears futile. This perspective emerges when innovation is labeled neutral or criticism dismissed as Luddism, creating a self-fulfilling prophecy that removes human agency while warning people to adapt or perish. Two powerful imperatives drive smart technology development: collection and control. The collection imperative compels businesses and governments to extract all possible data from all sources. Corporations are now as data-driven as they are profit-driven, designing technologies specifically to accumulate this new form of capital. Amazon's $13.7 billion Whole Foods acquisition illustrates this perfectly. Beyond entering the grocery business, Amazon sought data. Their cashierless Amazon Go stores eliminate checkout lines while adding cameras that track browsing patterns, lingering time, and products considered but not purchased, extending internet-style surveillance to physical spaces. Data has transformed from something companies once deleted into a vital form of capital. As AI researcher Andrew Nee noted, sometimes we launch products not for the revenue, but for the data. The control imperative creates systems that monitor, manage, and manipulate both the world and its people. These imperatives work in tandem. Harvesting data requires technical ability to probe environments, while control systems are fueled by data, allowing for more effective command. Power in the digital age operates subtly, beyond direct force or punishment threats. Smart technologies transform us into what philosopher Gilles Deleuze calls diduals, beings reduced to discrete data points. Each sensor targets specific attributes like fingerprints or behaviors, creating data doubles scattered across databases. Digital systems establish checkpoints requiring passwords, computer codes, key cards, PINs that determine access. When these credentials are rejected, the system's power becomes evident. Smart technology often absorbs and amplifies dominant cultural values. Even without malicious intent, these technologies reproduce inequalities through implicit biases in code, perpetuated by decision makers who benefit from the status quo. Paradoxically, avoiding smart technology can be a privilege. While luxury gadgets target the affluent, many cutting-edge applications target vulnerable populations. Tracking devices allowing lenders to disable car engines. scanners controlling workers' movements, and algorithms determining housing eligibility. The harms of smart technology disproportionately affect the poor and people of color, who experience both harmful surveillance inclusion and exclusion from beneficial technologies. Companies collect our personal information without meaningful consent or compensation. End-user license agreements are deliberately unreadable and one-sided. Even free services exchange minimal convenience for enormous wealth and power. Datafication, reducing people to digital abstractions, is dehumanizing. These systems determine our opportunities through profiling and scoring. The starter interrupt device exemplifies this control. This technology allows auto lenders to track vehicles and remotely disable them when payments are missed. Cars have shut down unexpectedly, sometimes in dangerous situations due to remote repossession. These devices are marketed as tools for extending credit to subprime borrowers. Data brokers, a $200 billion industry, collect thousands of data points about individuals, creating virtual avatars that affect our actual opportunities. Companies like Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion maintain up to 3,000 data segments for nearly every U.S. consumer, sorting people into market segments with callous labels like fragile families or gullible elderly. China's social credit system assigns each person a 3-digit trustworthiness score. High scores receive perks like expedited security and priority health care, while low scores face job and travel restrictions. People modify their behavior to improve these scores. While Westerners might view this as authoritarian, similar systems already exist in the U.S. and Europe, where hidden scores determine opportunities. The Department of Homeland Security even considered using credit scores for immigration decisions. Amazon's fulfillment centers exemplify sophisticated exploitation. Workers use handheld computers, counting down seconds for each task, with automatic termination for missed quotas, often without human intervention. Smart systems function like botanical rhizomes, appearing separate above ground while connected through invisible roots. These systems spread and reproduce, becoming nearly impossible to contain. Unlike traditional discipline based on paranoia and shame, control systems invisibly monitor through computer networks that record everything while maintaining an illusion of choice within predetermined boundaries. The smart society promises integrated data-driven technology with upgrades at every scale, but these benefits mask significant hidden costs. Behind self-trackers lurk data brokers exploiting users. Smart appliances enable manufacturers to extract more value. Smart city solutions give authorities new control methods. Power and profit fundamentally corrupt these technological transformations. We should challenge innovation fetishism and embrace the virtues of dumbness. Not everything needs sensors or cloud connectivity. The innovation myth shields technologists from accountability and excludes most people from the process. Today's innovation is controlled by venture capitalists, corporations, and the military. This isn't speculative fiction, but current reality. How smart tech intensifies collection and control, extraction and exploitation. Every dystopia is simultaneously utopian for some and ordinary for others. Those not experiencing the harms remain blind to the exploitation their lifestyles depend on. Yet bright spots emerge. Silicon Valley faces growing public distrust while workers push back through unionization, whistleblowing, and activism. More people recognize tech companies can't be trusted with our interests. We need to democratize innovation through 2 reforms. Allowing those affected by technology to participate in its creation, and making opaque systems intelligible through independent scrutiny and regulation. We urgently need strict regulations on data collection, purpose, and retention. The question isn't whether technology will shape our future, but what kind of technology we'll create, who will control it, and what values it will embody. The power to shape this future belongs to all of us if we're willing to claim it.